Well, welcome everybody to Dean's Corner, and I want to have a special welcome to Principal Fortier, who is gracing us with her presence today. Thank you very much for coming and making time for us. The libraries consists of about 177 individuals, professional librarians and staff, and a number of them are in the room today, and a number of them are watching in from different branches, including MAC. So Bruna can tell us how many people are signed on at any one. Okay, so we've got 26 people watching from a distance. And I just want, again, to welcome everybody. The semester's in full swing. You can tell the buildings are packed. We continue to do a number of renovation projects, and you'll hear a little bit about that. I want to issue a special thank you to everyone who managed to make the merger of our libraries during the summer complete. This was an enormous effort. I think that we have probably set a world's record in actually executing a move and a merger of this type. I don't know anyone else who has managed to do anything like this in the amount of time that we did. But I don't think that there's hardly anyone in this room who was not part of it in some way and at a distance. People who were tipping books, people who were changing records, people who were moving stacks around, people who were supervising people who were trying to figure out how to get all these books in different spaces. We just couldn't have done it without all of your goodwill, and I want you to know that I deeply, deeply appreciate it. And we do notice those things. I want to issue a special welcome, too, to Jen Riley, who is our new Associate Dean for Digital Initiatives, just almost on the payroll. You know, she's on November the 1st, she'll be here, and she's here with us today. And I know that everybody in Digital Initiatives is grateful to have someone as their boss, and now they feel that they have a representative at the Dean's Cabinet table. And I also know a number of faculty members who are waiting with bated breath to corner you, particularly on digital initiatives projects and digital humanities projects for sure. I also want to say hi and thank you to all of the retirees who have come in to be pinned today. Welcome back, and hope that, and don't stay a stranger. I did want to mention, as I'm saying thank yous, that I know that all of you know this, but I wanted to mention in concrete terms how much we owe to our students. And so that you get an idea of how much money actually they're supporting us with on an annual basis. SSMU is supporting us to the tune of $632,000 this year for extended hours in Hustle, Schulich, and Law, 24/5 access to the buildings from October through the 7th of December. We have desks and chairs, 52, that have been added as a result of their generosity, computer upgrades, and cyber tech. We also received $115,000 from the Arts Undergraduate Society, and they've supported us with chairs and desks in cyber tech and the main floor of Hustle, and $164,000 from PGSS, and they supported the family collection in every branch. You know, those cute little chairs that each one of you got to put together for little kids who come in. And there are ongoing discussions of what else we might do with that money. But I just wanted you to be aware of the magnitude of how much that our students are supporting us. And when there was a referendum this year, many things that were on referendums that the students voted not to continue, but they did vote to continue to support the libraries. And so tell them thank you, because we couldn't do what we do without them. We will at the end, more in the program, we will be handing out pins, and that will be fun. And I would like to just start the regular program here. Thank you. Diane.
Thanks. I'll take the...
Good, thank you. It always takes a second or two. There we go. Great. Thank you, Colleen. Yes, just a brief facilities update, carrying on from Colleen's comments of thanks for the merger of our branches. Just to point out that with the life sciences collection, the circulating collection, the current collection, and the Schulich current collection have been completely merged and accessible, and it was done on time and has been accessible since October 10th, so we're delighted about that. The almost 500,000 volumes have been moved across the two branches and merged into Schulich or are underway to be shelved in Curry. So the Curry storage collection, the shelving continues. About 150,000 volumes will be put onto the shelves in Curry in the upcoming month. The collection will be accessible, and our goal is to have it completely accessible and daily retrieval of the physical volumes at the end of November. In the meantime, however, if any client or user needs a title that's in there, we'll get it for them through interlibrary loans. So we're delighted with the progress so far. The education collection update, the entire monograph collection has been moved onto the repatriated compact shelving, and it's on the second floor of Hustle and completely accessible. The bound journals are being shipped to Curry, and the current journals will be accessible from the second floor of Hustle beginning now as we put them on the shelves. So education and the current collection of Life and Schulich merged. The other major project that's underway is a very large HVAC project, which I've referred to in a previous conversation with you. The heating, ventilation, and air conditioning system in McIntyre is being completely upgraded, and the roof is being repaired over the Osler Library. So that's floors three through six. The work has started. The impact on our work is the life sciences service and the reserve collection will move into Osler for that period of time when they're working on the third floor. And that will be put in place by the end of November. So service continues. It's continuing within Osler. And phase two, which will see the work take place within Osler, begins in April, so we'll keep you up to date on how that phase will be implemented as we get closer. The other initiative that is about to kick off in collaboration with University Services and the planning unit here at McGill is to perform a feasibility study of what are the options available to us to reimagine the library and archives, buildings, spaces, and storage going forward. So in collaboration with our colleagues in those units, we'll begin a feasibility study. This will help us to establish a master plan and give us the tools to say, to fundraise and move forward. So we're excited about this initiative. I was just at a very inspirational conference at the Hunt Library at North Carolina State. So if we're imagining the library of the 21st century, here are some wonderful images of what's available at Hunt. You know, quiet study, group study, options for our students. And, of course, the type of technology to put in the hands of our users to improve teaching and research. So very aspirational. But on a very practical note, and we're delighted to let you know about this, what's happening here and now, the CIO, Ghislaine Roquette, has received central funding to upgrade PCs over the next 5 years. And the library is considered a priority. We're absolutely delighted that starting now, 217 computers will be upgraded in the upcoming months. An additional 200, which is next year's allocation, will be in the summer, and then the remaining. So the feedback from our students of very, very slow computers, we have a solution and it's underway. So many thanks to the CIO and ICS for putting it in. We'll take questions at the end of our session. Great.
Okay. Hi. Okay, so today I have a couple things to talk to you about. First, just a quick reminder, you all remember ClimateQual, that survey we ran back in the winter, about organizational climate here. So you would have received earlier this month an email through the Library Everyone list from me about the follow-up on the results of ClimateQual. And you will be receiving another email about that later this afternoon. It will come from Isabelle Roberge. And we'll have more details about that. The follow-up is going to be in the form of, right now, focus groups. So we asked volunteers who are interested in potentially participating to let me know. So we're still recruiting some volunteers, but we have a lot more details about the focus groups, when they're going to start, who's going to be running them, and we're asking also for your input, your ideas or suggestions about what you'd like to see happen, what you wouldn't like to see happen, what your ideas are. Even if you're not participating in the focus groups, you're welcome to give your feedback to either me, Isabelle, or to organizational development here at McGill, who are going to be helping out with this process. So this is just an alert to let you know to read that email when it comes this afternoon, please. And then what I wanted to discuss with you is really just an overview of some of the major, the larger results from LabQual. So you all remember the LabQual survey. If you've been here for more than a few months, then you know that we run LabQual almost every year. So LabQual is the survey that we send out to our users to see what they think about three areas of our service quality. Library is place, or our space. Information control, which is collections and access to collections. And affective service, which is like the frontline customer service that they receive. And so we get these results. We got them, I think, in May or June. And I'm just going to present some of those findings. What's interesting is that we have run LabQual, this is the ninth time that we've run this survey since 2001. So we have results going back to 2001 for nine of those years, and so we can now see, we can see 12 years worth of trends for many of those things. But also last year in 2013, a lot of Canadian and Quebec institutions also ran LabQual in their academic libraries, so we are able to compare our findings from last year to their results as well, so we can see we can see how we compare to all the Canadian, the 47 Canadian libraries that did it, the Craybook libraries, CARL, the Canadian Association of Research Libraries, and the U15, those are the big 15 universities. We can see how we compare to them on different items, and so there's a lot of data. So I'm just going to present a little bit today just to give you an idea. So when we send out the survey to our users, we sample, because we don't want to send it to the same people every year, and we don't want to bombard everybody with the email. So we sample about 25 to 35% of undergrads and grad students, and we send it out to all tenure streams, so tenure track or tenured faculty. So these are the respondents. So we had a response rate of, across all of this, the response rate was about 10%. And so we had almost 1,200 people respond to our survey in 2013. We also had 500, or almost half of those people, give us open-ended comments, you know, those long comments at the end. And so those I've analyzed as well, and I have findings on the comments. And I'll talk about the representativeness in a minute. So just to let you know, these are the libraries that our respondents used. These are in order of their use. So there's no surprises here. The top one is the Humanities and Social Sciences Library. So that's the one that almost 500 of the respondents used. And then it goes down to Schulich, Life Sciences, Education, etc. A new category, which was not there before, is in the middle here. And that's, I only use the library remotely. So people responding to the survey had the option of not choosing a branch and just to say, I don't physically go to the library, and 58 people chose that option. For the first time in LabQual, we actually have the option of, we had the option of people could actually say what faculty they were in, not just what discipline, but they could say which faculty at McGill. So because we have this data, we can compare this to what we know about the distribution of people at McGill, and in fact, it's perfectly representative of McGill users. So it's proportional. So the 10% of people who responded represent all the faculties at McGill the same proportion. So that means that the survey sampling did its job. So that's nice to know. It means that the results are very useful to us. So you can see that the top faculty is arts and then science, medicine, engineering, etc. So here's one measure that we have, and we have it going back to 2003. And this is overall satisfaction with the quality of service. So when people respond to the survey, they're asked on a scale of 1 to 9 how satisfied you are with the service. And you can see that we've rated pretty high on this over the years, but we have been going up a little bit. In particular, undergraduates, that's the first bar, which is red, it's increased pretty steadily for those last 10 years. Here's some more longitudinal trend data. So this is going back to 2002. And this is a specific question that we ask our users, and it's probably familiar because I think we've presented this every year. We talk about this one. It's a really important one. We ask them how they feel about how important quiet space for individual activities is to them, and we ask them to tell us the minimum acceptable level on a scale of 1 to 9, their desired, so what they would really like to see, and then we ask them where do you perceive we are, so where do we fall? And hopefully we fall somewhere in between those two. So hopefully we meet their minimum requirement, or we're close to their desired level. So that's these two solid bars. There's a black one and a green one. And this little blue strip in between is that zone that we want to be in. As you can see, when it comes to quiet space for undergrads, we're often not in that zone. We're below it. We're not there. So this year, we actually are right on the line. So we kind of just make the minimum for undergrads, for quiet study. There are some other lines on this graph. The small little dotted line here, that's the average for all the Association of Research Libraries that did the surveys in those years. So that's the average for them. So you can see that our line, which is this, you can't really see it, it's right on top of this black line, but it's the dashed line, our average is lower than that of most of the ARL libraries. So this probably doesn't come as a surprise to most of you. You are tier students, really want more quiet space, especially during exams. Grad students, on this item, easy to use access tools that allow me to find things on my own. So you can see it's the same here on a scale of 1 to 9. Their minimum is here, their desired level is here, and we're in the middle, we're above the minimum. And we've stayed pretty constant. And we're also right on the average with the Association of Research Libraries. So we're pretty much at par with our colleagues, which is that we're okay. We're above there. We're doing okay, and everyone kind of is around the same place. And one for faculty. So for faculty, what's the most important thing for them? We've known, and all this is true for all institutions in North America, print or electronic journal collections I require for my work. This is the really, really important thing. It's interesting because if you look at this, the bars are really high up. This is the most important thing to faculty, is getting access to journals for their work. So their minimum level is very high. It's really important to them. And as you can see, that since 2002 to now, we're still not meeting that. But neither are the ARL libraries. So the average is below the minimum. So we're not reaching that minimum. It's not adequate. But what's interesting also is that we are doing a bit better than the average. It's at some point about 5 years ago where we started to improve and we started to be a little bit better than the average ARL library, but we still have the same struggles that those libraries have. If you want to talk more about these graphs or you're interested in the data, I can always explain more to you later. I just wanted to give you some highlights. So now I have some different graphs. Remember I told you, 2013, a bunch of Canadian libraries did LibQual. So we have a lot of data, and we can compare ourselves on all these different items just to see how we compare. So I just picked a couple. And so this one is a question that, again, the faculty one on print or electronic journals. So how do we do compared to Canadian libraries? So I just want to mention that this chart is kind of blown up. So it's a scale of 1 to 9. But I've just put 6 to 8, not to fool you, but just so that you could see the differences, because it would be really hard to see them from where you're sitting. It's probably already still hard to see them from where you're sitting on a scale of 1 to 9. Okay, so the values are here. So they're not that far apart. But if you look at the first bar in red, that's McGill, we're a little bit higher than the Crapook average for print and electronic journal access. We're just about the same as the Carle libraries. We're higher than the Canadian average, but we're lower than the U15. And lastly, for undergraduates, quiet space, how do we compare to other Canadian libraries? You can see the McGill red bar on the left there. We're way lower, well, we're significantly lower than the CRAEPUC average there in providing quiet space for our undergrads and their satisfaction. But we are a little bit higher than Carle. We are around the same as the average for Canada. And interestingly, we're a little bit higher than the U15. So depending on which item you're looking at, we compare differently to our peers. So that's the LabQual data. And I will hand it over to Isabel.
Thank you, Laurie. Good afternoon, everybody. So we'll start with an HR update, recruitment update. So if you remember, in the month of October, we posted a few positions for the Humanities and Social Science Library, but also for Schulich and the Copyright Compliance Office. To date, we have the posting are closed, and the search committee has sat down to review the bank of candidates. And for the three liaison librarian position, we will be conducting interviews in the month of November, from November 11 all the way to November 30th. So as the candidates and the dates are confirmed, more information concerning those search will be sent to you via emails. For at the same time that the search committee will be conducting the interviews for the liaison librarians, we will sit down and also look at the pool of candidates for the Copyright Compliance Office position. And if everything goes well, the interview will be scheduled for the first week of December. Continuing on the recruitment update, as you can see, September and October were busy from an HR point of view. So in addition to the hiring of Jen Riley that we have the pleasure to have with us today, we have filled the position at McDonald campus, and Dana Ingalls will be joining Natalie Waters and her team as a liaison librarian as of November 1st. Andrew, who's with us today, has joined the team of collection services, e-resources, and serial on October 15. And the library supervisor for the Humanities and Social Science Library, we are at the final stage of that recruitment process, and an announcement concerning the successful candidate should be coming out soon. If you remember, we had also a posting for a law liaison librarian. Unfortunately, our pool of candidates did not produce any suitable candidates, so we'll have to sit down, review our advertisement process and our needs before we can take a next step. So, and to conclude the recruitment update, those are the future posting that will come up in the month of November. So we have a mat leave replacement for the Osler Library and the two position in archives. On a more light note and social note, on October 16, the Quarter Century Club held its 45th gala, and 139 new members were inducted during this evening. Among those people, three of our colleagues, we had David Curtis from the Music Library, Ms. Anne-Marie Emily from Collection Services, and Jeffrey Marcus from the Schulich Library. And as you can see with the amount of little Berg boxes that I have in front of me, 2013 is also a year for many of our colleagues who have achieved important milestone in their career here at McGill. And I would like to invite Dean Cook and Madame la Principale Fortier to join me at this point and endow the service pins.
Oh,
it's more yes. Fun. So I guess now I have to sit. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Voila.
Right.
Oh, you're the first. Yay!
Okay, we have to wait for Marika.
Yes.
Oh, no.
Yes.
Yes.
And nice and cold.
Yes. And the jury. Congratulations. Félicitations.
And Isabel.
Ah! Félicitations.
We'll be in the middle.
Voilà.
For once, we didn't make her do all the work.
No, that's it. For one, I can enjoy it.
Congratulations. Félicitations. Congratulations.
Thank you so much.
Yeah. Laura was one of the hours that's special.
Félicitations. Congratulations.
And Dorothy?
45 years.
45 years. Oh, 45 years. Wow. Congratulations.
Thank you so much. And these are... Does anybody have any questions at all? So any questions from anybody about anything?
Really?
Oh, the terrorist date. You know, don't forget not to shoot the messenger, right? Every time Diane tells us about this stuff, we sigh. Apparently, it's now December the 15th.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's a little overdue, we know. So, but anyway, don't get your hopes up until December the 15th, okay? And do we have any questions from afar? No? Sure? Okay. Well, we have a little bit of information about SunTrade, or we? I think, yeah. Yeah. We have a full team of people, representation from almost every branch on our SunTrade team. And I'd really like to thank everyone who's involved in that as well. As you can see here, there are lots of people who are taking an active interest in this, and it's really cool. You need to come over this way because you have to take this. Yes.
There you go. Thank you very much.
Great. So thanks for your time this afternoon. I'm Sharon Rankin, and with my co-chair, Marika, we have a great group of staff who are helping with the Library and Archives SunTrade campaign. So I just wanted to show you a few slides about the events we have planned, and hopefully you'll all support us and help out SunTrade. As you know, tomorrow we have a Halloween costume contest, so I encourage you to get dressed up. We have prizes courtesy of the Dean's Office, and in the morning there will be judges around in all the libraries to take your picture and also to talk about SunTrade, provide some candy, and hopefully encourage you to make a donation to the campaign. Our main event is a used book and DVD sale, which will be held in November, and we feel we could do this year because the book fair is not being hosted, so we don't want to steal the thunder of the scholarship money, but we're hoping that you will be able to contribute with your used books and your DVDs. We're hoping for fun materials, stress-relieving films, 21st century, not reference books, not encyclopedias. And at the same time, we have a raffle for a Simpsons prize pack, signed poster, lots of Simpsons DVDs and paraphernalia. You will get this poster in your email. We will have a collection date starting next week in various locations, and you can speak to any member of the working group, and we will take your books and DVDs. And this is the poster that you will see and you will all receive, and hopefully that you can post for us. There will be two sales, one on Tuesday, November the 26th in McLennan, and the second the following day in the Frank Dawson Adams lobby of the Schulich Library on Wednesday the 27th. So we encourage you to come out. And everything is going to be priced to sell. So if I can answer any questions, I would be happy to. Yes?
But who are the judges for the costume?
We will all be judging. All members of the committee will be judging in the afternoon. So we will be taking pictures, and we'll be all reviewing the photographs, and we will be voting by email.
You have a scary group. I noticed you said either scary or creative.
Yes, there are a couple of them.
Do you have a scary group and a creative group?
No, we're all judging. We're all judging. Any other questions?
I think Marika said she had 9 DVDs.
It's 9. I think it's the full season.
Yeah.
Yes, and the poster is signed by Matt Gronick. Is that how you pronounce his name? Great, so hopefully it's a lot of fun, and I look forward to talking to you all about making a donation to SunTrade. And we are waiting for a guest who was going to speak, but if she doesn't arrive, then we can... we're finished. We're finished.
We can,
I think we'll break up. We'll be right in here. We're having a little reception. And please feel free to, thank you. Please feel free to, uh-oh, now we're in real trouble.
That's the problem with live TV.
Yeah. Are you sure no one has any questions? Well, we can all go out and mingle anyway. It's hot in here, actually, isn't it? So anyway, please feel free to please stay long enough to congratulate our friends and colleagues. The amount of time that this represents is truly, it's special, and I envy you the little blue boxes. So we'll all go out here, and eventually the food will come. So thank you all.